This podcast is for women. If you need dating and relationship advice, wish to rebuild and reconnect with your partner and yourself, look no further. Welcome to This Podcast is for Women with feminine energy expert, Adrienne Everhart.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Adrienne Everhart, your feminine energy dating and relationship coach. In today's podcast, This Podcast is for Women. Today, I'm going to be talking about the biggest mistake you're making in your relationship. Yes, I believe it is the biggest mistake. It is also my most popular social media post that I make, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about, and that is his problems become your problems. It is the biggest relationship mistake that we are making. His life, his world, his drama, his problems become your problems. And what happens is this intercepts the relationship unfolding because I just think it's a great big excuse in the relationship. Also, sometimes his problems aren't your problems in that you don't have any control over him, what he's doing, what he's saying, how he's showing up in the relationship, and the excuses why he can't show up in the relationship. You have no control over this. But our inner boy thinks that we do have control and we can actually change how the man is treating us, or we can somehow control him or say things a certain way or be a certain way, and that this will make the man somehow treat us high quality, give us what we want. Now, I do believe there are some subtle things you can do to absolutely make your relationship more connected, feel more fulfilled and happier, and get love really flowing in a positive way. I do believe there are some things you can do, but they have nothing to do with his problems. They have nothing to do with his drama and his life. Nothing. This is about you. This is about the only thing you can control is yourself. So in today's podcast, the biggest mistake you're making in your relationship is his problems become your problems. I'm also going to discuss the drama triangle. This was actually developed in the 70s by a psychologist, and I'll have that in the notes below. And I love, love, love this drama triangle because you can really take any of your past, most recent argument with your spouse, your mom, anybody that you were having conflict with, and you can actually find out who was being the victim, who was being the rescuer, and who was being the persecutor. And it's so amazing that that's what makes drama. So you might say to yourself, like, well, my gosh, I was the victim. I was like really the victim here. This really happened. So there are real victims with things that go wrong in our lives. But the drama triangle is more about keeping yourself in victim mode, having sentences that you're saying, words that you're saying to your partner that keep showing them, I'm a victim. Can't you see how you hurt me? Look at, I can't figure this out. I'm over here and I'm suffering, and poor me. So I'm going to explain all of these. Don't worry. And please, please get your questions ready because I want you to focus on his problems not being your problems. And we're going to answer some of these using this handy dandy drama triangle. This is an awesome tool to use. I love it. It always blows my mind. And usually after an argument or a discussion or something, I'm like, oh, why didn't I see that they were doing that and I was doing this? And then how do you get yourself out of it? So I'm going to go over that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth about questions I get asked all the time when this social media post comes up in people's feeds, and just how it is the biggest mistake you can make, losing your focus on your life and mostly seeing his life. In my coaching calls with my clients, one of the things that I have to constantly refocus us on is that's about him. This isn't about you. Well, that's about him. This isn't about you. So we have to actually find what you're feeling to really get the importance and the value of what's going on, because that's all that we can control. And this is where, if you're feeling good, that's where it has this effect that it will affect the man. But as long as you're in your masculine energy and you're focusing on him making things happen, you lose your autonomy. Your life stops. Your life goes from, when I met this person, I was doing these things with my life. Now, 2 years later, what did my life look like? I've lost my sense of self. His decisions about his life became your detours in life. I remember at one point in time, I had a boyfriend in another city. I had totally made up my mind that I was moving to that city. We were dating. It was great. And when I let him know I was going to be moving, he just built up such a wall, just suddenly poof out of nowhere. And I never moved to this city because of that decision he made. Instead of just really being autonomous and being like, oh, darn, you're going to miss out on the best thing in your life ever, me. I wouldn't have said that, but I would have meant it. But and moved there anyway. And just, I really will never know what my life would have been like because I let his decisions, his problems affect my decisions in life. So when you lose your autonomy, you're in your boy energy and you're thinking, controlling, making things happen, doing, this is not feminine energy. Feminine energy is about, I am the most important decision in my life right now. What I'm feeling, how I'm reflecting those feelings to myself, how I'm speaking to myself, and what I'm spending all this mental energy and all these days and all these years thinking about. That is your superpower, which is like, I need to refocus this back on me. So feminine energy, we can have this nurturing quality to us, but it's only for babies and animals and the elderly. It's for people and things that do not have a voice. You know, elderly's voice, they have a voice, but it's not as powerful sometimes anymore. And babies and children don't really have a voice, and animals don't really have a voice. So we want to nurture those things. But you will never watch a Disney movie where Snow White is singing, but she has to take care of the prince. She doesn't have to take care of him. She doesn't have to solve any of his problems. That is his business. Look, I know Disney princesses are not the best examples for feminine energy, but you get what I'm saying. This is about what you can and cannot control, and his problems, they're just not part of your life. So moving on from that, there are three questions I want you to ask yourself going into this process. And I hope you can take notes on some of this stuff because it's really good exercise in checking in with ourselves. Because in my opinion, drama starts at home with the self. It starts with us, and we have to really take a deeper look at the things we're doing and saying to our partners, the expectations we're having, and just how that's reflecting back into our relationship. So first off, is your relationship in life stunted because of his problems? So think about this. Is your relationship or your life stunted, meaning it's not growing, it's not maturing, it's not developing into something new, it's not progressing because of his problems, his divorce, or his lack of divorce, his depression. And I'm going to talk about depression later on in this because it's a hot question I get a lot with this topic. His job, if his job was only better, if his job wasn't in another city, his house renovation. Oh, he's under so much stress. I know he'll propose when the house is fully renovated. His plans to return to school, his ex, she's still in his life, his kids, he wants to wait until that one's 18, you know, before he gets married, whatever it is, his stress, oh, he's going through this work project, or his company, you know, is being sued currently, or whatever it is. Okay, those are his problems. But if those problems are stunting your relationship, let's pay attention to this podcast. Let's really focus on how those excuses, they're real problems. But if a man wants to be with you, he will move mountains to be with you. I don't care what's going on. I've heard of people getting married under all sorts of stress, health problems, all sorts of things happening. And they know that they want to be with this person. They're not letting anything stop that. The next question, are you spending too much time talking, discussing, and arguing about problems? Like, is there this ongoing theme in the relationship where you're arguing and talking about stuff to death? And do you find you're the facilitator? You're the person who is in your boy energy, kind of taking charge and going, you know, we need to work on this. This is not okay. This is not right. And you're coming in it like being the problem solver or the referee, or you kind of feel like you're the designated relationship therapist. And with that, are you also noticing that you're going into it with an outcome in mind of how your partner should behave or how they should solve this? Now, I'm not saying that it isn't okay to come to your partner and say, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, and have a way to speak to your partner in a really loving way that produces some growth and opportunity for good results. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, are you spending spending a lot of time doing this? Is this happening a lot? Like at least a couple of times a week, you're having to work on something and solve something. It's just overhanging issues in every part of your relationship. It's just stuff that's not going away and you're fixated on it, or it's keeping the relationship from growing. So the last question, I get this one all the time. Bless you, all of you diamond girls who have ever asked me this. I did write a book called 500 Ways to Talk to a Man. It is still the most popular item I sell on my website, 500 Ways to Talk to a Man ebook, and it comes with a 2-day video class. So in that book and on the website that describes the book, I tell you that I teach you how to speak in a way that will open your man's heart. I will give you the best chances for him listening to you. I will give you the best chances for him opening up and really hearing what you're saying and responding to your heart. I also address so many problems you can have in your relationship. I mean, I tried to think up as many problems as I had with my clients and put them into this book with scripts and words you can say that will activate your guy into taking action with the relationship. Okay. So with that said, you know, I've got this book. It's helped tons of people. I hear about it every day, but occasionally I will get asked this question. How can I make my man see that this is important to me? I've tried feeling statements. I've tried boundaries. He doesn't care, Adrian. How can I get him to see that this is important to me? How can I get him to see that he's hurting me? How can I get my man to respond in a high value way? And how can I get him to see that I need this or I need that, or I prefer if he opens a door for me, or I prefer that he doesn't look at other women. And I've used feeling statements that he just ignores me. So I hear this one a lot and they're like, well, wait a minute, you wrote this book, 500 Ways to Talk to a Man. So how does this coincide with his problems are not your problems? So, you know, in a previous podcast, I discussed accepting a man's no and the importance of that. So there is a time where you have given it all you've got. You've tried everything and you even tried it again. And the man is just taking whatever you're saying and he's throwing it out the window. He does not care. Then you turn into, this is really about walking away. But before you do that, either emotionally or physically, I really want to make sure you check yourself, go over this drama triangle, really double check and make sure that you're not creating more drama or expectations in the relationship than what's needed. So I'm going to take your Q&A here in just a second. So I want everybody to get your questions ready. And before we do that, I'm going to give you a couple of tips about how to really communicate at your best with your partner and how to make him responsible, give him that responsibility of his own life. Now, he may not be expecting you to be responsible for his life. You might just be doing it automatically, but with some relationships, they might expect that their life is the center of all the attention. Those are people who usually have a lot of drama in their life. So we're going to go over that. But when it comes to arguing, staying on focus, making sure your life is really feeling fulfilled, you're in your feminine energy, your relationship is looking really good, it's feeling good, I want you to know your triggers, okay? Know your triggers and have a plan on how you're going to handle a situation with love for him and love for you. So your homework is to think back on a very recent problem, go back in time. How would you handle this relationship with love? What is the most loving thing you could say to him? What is the most loving thing you could do for yourself? Because so often we're resisting what's going on with something. We're fighting against it instead of like, we're just going to allow this. And we're going to be the loving people we know ourselves to be. The next one is, I want you to model the behavior you wish to see. So this was the best advice a career coach ever gave me, because I would get so triggered by people in, you know, my work environment, that I would have to work so much to stay calm and cool. And I would just let my boundaries, just forget my boundaries. I couldn't express them when I was upset, things like this. But I want you to just imagine how you would behave and act when drama happens in your life or when upset takes place in your life. How do you want to speak? How do you want your energy or your poise to be? I always think of the actress that's in The Good Fight. Her name's slipping me right now, but she's just so poised. She's so elegant. I just feel like you want to have that energy, that feminine energy of like, I'm here, I'm listening, but I'm impenetrable because I am in charge of myself and I'm going to respond and behave in a way that I feel is appropriate. So model that behavior that you want to see, and slowly you will begin to see that it starts, that professionalism or that love or whatever it is you're bringing, it gets reflected back to you. So once you have that energy around you, that's what people will bring to you. So that's a big one. The next part is have boundaries and empathy. So I want you to be able to have boundaries with a person who's got a lot of problems, or if your man has a lot of problems or excuses or whatever it may be. I want you to have a boundary with it because you cannot solve this or fix it for him. So that's your boundary. I'm going to go into this. I'm going to look at the clock. I'm going to give him 7 minutes to talk to me about how he feels. And I'm going to be empathetic with him. So a lot of the women that are attracted to what I teach, we are very much strong in our masculine energy. And here's how that conversation usually goes when our partner comes home and says, "Oh my God, I had such a terrible day at work." We go, "Oh my God, me too." Or, "Oh my God, you think your day was bad? You should hear my day." Like, we end up actually competing with our masculine energies. And you might be thinking, "Well, I'm feminine energy. He should be the one listening to me." But your partner can also have these feeling moments of feminine energy. And that's totally okay, because that's your time to be vulnerable and connect with your partner. So have your boundaries, but also have empathy in place. If your partner comes home from work, or if they've had a bad day or whatever it is, be able to go, "Oh my gosh, what happened? You know, how are you feeling? How'd you do?" Be able to be there for them. You know, meanwhile, you got a parking ticket and your car got towed and you had a flat tire on the way home. And then once there's a break, say, "You know, can I also share something that happened with me today?" And let them know. So you're having empathy, but you're also having a boundary. Okay, so here is the big one I get asked. Every time I make this social media post, someone will ask me this. Because in the social media post, I say, "His depression, it's not your problem. It's his problem. His problem is not your problem. His depression, his anxiety, his whatever it is, it's his problem, not your problem." And this is a really important topic. Depression. It's nothing to take lightly, mental illness at all. And I do not want this social media post to feel like I'm like, you need to be dismissive of his mental illness or anything that a person's suffering going through. That's not what I'm saying at all. I want you to ask yourself, is his depression stopping the relationship from growing? So if you're married, you are committed to that person. They have depression. You're committed. You have some form of a legal obligation to each other for your physical well-being and things like this. If you are dating this man, if you are in some form of relationship with him, you're not engaged, you're not married, this relationship has not been finalized. And you may discover you're with a partner who has something about them that you just don't want to deal with. And I want you to understand that that is okay. You're not a bad person. Right out of college, I talk a lot about this guy that I got engaged to kind of quickly. It was all very, you know, I'm graduating from college and we're getting a house together and all this stuff. And he asked me to marry him. And about 3 months into it, he was diagnosed with bipolar and he would be so depressed. And I would just be begging him to go do something with me. Let's go to the gym. Let's go work out. Let's go walk. Let's cook a meal. And just everything was so just, you couldn't peel him off the ground. He was able to go to a sleep study and get some help. He was able to go on certain medications and get some help, but it was just still all over the place. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I could not be with a person who had that level of depression. And even now with my husband, I tell him, I'm like, "This house is only big enough for one of us to be messed up sometimes, you know?" And I think it is. I think you have to have two mentally very healthy partners. But if one partner isn't, you have to be willing, whether that's an illness or whatever it may be, to help that partner if you're committed to them. If you're not, and it's not for you, you can walk away. The next thing about depression, very serious, is he asking for help? Is he saying, "Hey, I need help with this"? Or is he saying, "I will marry you. I will talk. We can talk about getting married once I'm out of this depression"? Or is he just having nothing, no conversation at all because he is depressed? You see, there's very different things that are happening here. So I want you to be empathetic and I want you to ask him, "Is there anything I can do to get you help?" You are always allowed to be empathetic and ask a person questions. Remember, feminine energy is about clarity. It's about warmth, clarity, and boundaries. So you can always get clarity about this. And then lastly, if a person is, you know, threatening to harm themselves or harm others or animals or what the house, things, whatever it is, and they're out of control or you're worried about them, that's where you have to give this to someone else. And I recommend calling 911 or some other support that that person can get the help that they need, because it's not up to you at that point. So I take the depression question very serious. Depression, his depression is not your problem though. Offering to help him, you can do that. But his depression is not your responsibility to fix. Neither is his ex or his kids being a certain age or whatever it may be. So we're going to talk about the excuses a man makes and how a woman, feminine energy woman, can totally lose her life, lose her sense of value in the relationship because she makes his problems, and her concerns. And why do we do this? I'm really curious, why do we make his problems our problems?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Adrienne Everhart, and I'm curious. Are you ready to attract a loving partner and create your very own happily ever after? Maybe you've seen my growing list of testimonials on my Instagram page, or somehow you've been drawn to my work with feminine energy. I've helped a lot of women find true love, get engaged, married, and some even remarried. I want to help do the same wonderful thing in your life. I want to share Femme Tools for Dating. It's a program on my website and it's waiting for you. You see, dating can feel really difficult, and I teach you how to go from feeling invisible and intimidated online to creating connection with men and calling forth quality men into your life. Step by step, I guide you from the very first hello to happily ever after. I teach you so many feminine energy tools along the way and so, so much more. Now, if you want a coach that gets results and has methods that have helped women all over the world, Femme Tools is available when you need it. So head on over to my website. That's Everhart Coaching, E-V-E-R-H-E-A-R-T Coaching, and look for Femme. That stands for Feminine Energy Mindset Method. Trust me, ladies, this very affordable program does not disappoint.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So let's talk about that. Who has their hand raised and wants to ask a question? I would love to hear from one of you. Let's see. Keita, are you there?
Okay, I can talk now.
Great. I can hear you perfect. So hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I would love to hear what your question is.
So I think as we were going through our session today, I realized that I have noticed a pattern in my past relationships of getting sucked into whatever it is they're going through. And I find it difficult to separate his issues with my issues. And I feel like it gets very entangled. And then I lose my sense of self And there is this drama with like blaming each other, criticizing, and so on. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that with the guys I've dated or been with in the past, they show up for the relationship. They are trying to progress the relationship, but they have some limitation, which is their problem. And then I get blamed for it, or I'm being told that I'm not investing enough or invested enough. And I almost feel like I'm getting twisted and asked to do whatever it is that they want. So it's not so much that they're not showing up for it, but it's more like I get sucked into their thing and I just get very overwhelmed.
Can you give us a specific? Because there have been something specific that's happening or going on. And this sounds like it might be a little bit of like a characteristic you're attracting in men.
I think so too. So I'm trying to point my finger on it. And
So is the thing that they are having trouble with, like the problem, does it keep the relationship from progressing, like into commitment or marriage or engagement? And then when you talk to them about it, they go, that's you, not me.
Well, so I feel like they actually go into the commitment or marriage, and I feel like sometimes my feelings are not catching up with it. So for example, in this last dating relationship that I was in, this person had visa issues, etc., and wasn't able to come to me. Mm. So his expectation was for me to constantly travel to him, which we met a few times, and he wanted me to commit to him and move to the country, which was a huge undertaking. And I felt like the relationship hadn't grown. I felt like I hadn't spent enough time. I hadn't fallen in love with this person.
And so Keita, let me jump in real quick. This is why, like, I am not the coach if someone is into long distance relationships. Like, I am not the coach to help, because I just feel like you lose every time. And it's one thing if, you know, it's temporary and they might be coming back, you stay in touch with them. You know, I will tell you this, after working with so many women, myself included, even other coaches that are friends of mine that I've helped, you know, because we lean on each other, you know, of course. The thing that I've always noticed is that it's easy. Like when it's time to actually get together with someone and make a relationship happen, it's easy. Like no one's a victim. No one's persecuting and no one's rescuing. So I think that you're rescuing a little bit. Like you're the person, you get persecuted, right? They're the victim. They're going to blame you. You're getting persecuted. And then you're traveling all this distance to go see this person and you're not connecting. And then you're not connecting like you want to be. And you can't really commit to this person. And maybe you start to feel like there's a little something wrong with you because that person is telling you there's something wrong with you, right?
Absolutely.
And all this shame comes in. And so the thing is like, you got to go back to when the long distance relationship or a person with a troubled visa became the issue in the first place. And is it possible to have a boundary for yourself that, you know, I'm going to attract someone local. I don't know how yet. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm willing to attract someone who lives nearby me. I know that that's out there. How does that feel for you?
It feels a whole lot more grounding. It does. It does. And I think you're absolutely right that I feel like I get persecuted and I do a bit of that rescuing thing. And so taking back and having that boundary of like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to date locally. Yeah, it actually does. It
actually does. I'm glad that it connects for you, because we might believe that this is even a cultural thing, that some women are more passive and we'll take the brunt and we'll get blamed, but it's everywhere. It's all women, because we're either getting blamed and persecuted, or when we find that we're not getting what we want, we become the victim. Like, you know, I was with this guy for 2 years. I gave him everything I had and he left me, and now we're the victim. And I think you have to go back to that little first indicator that feels like, I am not so sure I'm into this. Like, I'm not sure that this is what I want. And we get caught up in the moment, you know, but do you feel that you are able to quantum date?
I am. In fact, I was quantum dating quite a bit last summer, and I was going out on at least a couple of dates a week, but I was also connecting with this person, which ended up being the one that progressed the most. And I was like, whoa, this is not where I want to go, but yet it went there.
I don't know why that is, but I hear about it all the time. It's like the guy we want the most, we can't have.
Yeah.
It, because there's something not working out with that. And so often it's really about not the person I want the most, but the person that can be the most in my life. You know, who can really show up for me? Who can really be here? Your desires just, you know, I talk about how this love affair changes. I don't know how old you are, but I think it changes in our 20s where it's like, ooh, I see that guy. I want him. Like, I, you know, we're always going to be attracted to a certain type of guy, but then you really cross this line where it's about how is someone treating me and are our lives working out? And is this easy? Is it happening relatively easily? And I'm just curious, you look so young. How old are you?
I'm in my early 30s. I'm 33.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. So yeah, you're in that, what I call this like transitioning where it's really about how does someone treat us? You know, how are they treating us? How are they showing up in our lives?
I especially love the part about going back to that first step where I feel like that's where I slip, I cave, and then the pattern just begins. And so holding my ground and my boundary at that place is, is where I need to work on.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Kita.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, let's talk to Kathy. I saw Kathy's hand go up here, and I think I'm going to have to unmute you unless you can unmute you, Kathy.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, oh, thank you for this.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh, there you are. So Kathy, thank you so much for joining.
Oh my God. There. I can't believe this. I'm going to cry. I've been following you for over 3 years. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Welcome.
Oh my goodness. I've been through so much. You know, I've been just following you for so many years, reading everything and listening to all your videos. Sorry. Oh my goodness.
I hope I've helped.
Well, I've been through so much.
Sure. A lot of growth.
I've been through a really bad divorce and dated a lot. And, you know, now I can't even find anybody to date. That's, you know, like this, that young lady that was just talking, you know, she was talking about, well, I try really hard now not to date people who are out of town. I live in a, well, it's a big college town. When I moved here really to help take care of my mother, who's elderly and very sick. And then I have a disabled brother. So it's just me taking care of my mom. And then I have my 2 kids were in college at the time, but they've graduated and they have jobs now. And, you know, they're off in their lives. And so I've dated men and they just end up not wanting to go further. They just want to have sexual, you know, friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to meet a man that doesn't want friends with benefits who's really got their act together. I mean, men are interested in dating me, but they're like messed up. So, you know,
what does that mean? Have your act together? I'm just curious.
Well, let's see. One guy who's interested in me, he lives in a trailer and oh my God. I mean, I consider that. He spends his money on guitars and, you know, he's got too many guitars and financially he just doesn't have his act together. I don't want to date that's coming way down for me.
I'm with you. I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, this is a very masculine guy. Like he's in a trailer. I get it. It's not, you know, but it's guys. Like I have a roof over my head. I'm on my own. I've got all these guitars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to a guy, he's having a great time. And unfortunately men don't think like I need to have a house that will show a woman that I can also have a home with her. You know, they don't often think about that. And I talk a little bit about this in 500 Ways to Talk to a Man, but I'm going to talk more about it. But that masculine energy economics, how a man provides for you in other ways that don't always reflect monetary. I'm not talking you into guitar guy, but I'm just saying kind of be aware of keeping your options open with these men that on the outside don't appear to really have their act together, but maybe they have their act together in here. In their hearts.
I can't imagine. He's a little bit strange. I mean, he's too eccentric, kind of strange for me. And I don't doubt that.
But
he is a nice guy and he communicates well in this, but he has never invited me out. He has never spent a penny on me. He usually comes where I hang out with my friends. He comes, I hang out at this bar dance place and a big place. And he just usually just shows up and he says, oh, I thought I'd come talk to you tonight. And, you know, he just
been with my group, and, you know, he's never offered to take me out or anything. You know, I went to a yoga class with him once and a spin class with him once because we're in the same gym. And, you know, even after that, he didn't ask me out for dinner or anything. I mean, so he's just, you know, he's not, I'm used to men who have a lot of money and beautiful homes. And, but those men, they end up, they want to spend their money on their kids or their grandkids, or they're always looking for something better.
Oh, Kathy, I just want to jump in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm making a lot of excuses maybe, but I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. Sorry.
I mean, I think you're onto it here because when I asked you, I was like, well, why are you not able to date more men? I heard a lot about what it is you expect, you know, a little more money, a little more put together lifestyle. But yet, if I get that, those men will be spending it on their kids. And so I would love for you to take a program like New Man Manifesto. I don't know
I have it. I'm almost done with it.
Perfect. Get what it is that you want and why it feels that way. You know, why does it feel that way? For example, when I met the man who became my husband, Jeff, he didn't have the type of car that I thought he should have. He had moved here from New York where he didn't even have a car. And he had just really like a beater just to get from point A to point B. And I had never, honestly, I don't think I've ever sat in a car that old. That wasn't a classic, you know? And it was really easy for me to kind of turn my nose up at him because he wasn't really, his lifestyle didn't exactly feel like mine. We weren't too far off the mark. But at some point, I realized that I was making excuses to keep myself from connecting with someone. And you don't have to marry anyone that you don't want to or date them, but you can't allow yourself to start connecting with people of any background, of any financial status. You know, just allow your heart to connect with them because they're still people. There's still a man that will love you, take care of you, help you take care of your mom and your brother who would love to have a job like that and a family like that with a beautiful woman. And so I'm just wondering if you're not blocking yourself just a little bit, but use your New Man Manifesto, write out what you want in a man and how it will feel to you.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say that so many times in your videos and in the, yeah, and everything. Yeah. This guy's just too, he's nice and he's...
I got a feeling you're going to marry this guy.
No. No.
Well, you're talking about him a lot. So, and I'm with you. He's a good example.
Because he's the only guy around that's not an alcoholic. Oh my gosh. It seems like all the other guys drink so heavily.
But they don't. But they don't. There are plenty of men around you that have no addictions of any kind. They are there. You got to create that space for them to show up in your life. Well, you got to,
Adrian, really quickly, if I'm at, you know, like the place I hang out and I see somebody who's attractive, do I look at them and just smile to let them know that I'm interested? And well, I have to wait for them to kind of find me and come around to me and see me and make some move.
Oh my gosh. I love this question. I talk about this in Fem Tools for Dating.
I bought a long time ago, so maybe I forgot.
Well, one of the things I like to do is remember, you want to be an invitation to a man, but a diamond girl, a feminine energy woman, has no problem telling someone what it is she wants. So we're not here to play, my partner should be able to figure out what I want. Like, for example, this guy that shows up at your yoga classes in the bar and stuff like that. You should tell him, you know what? You're a super great guy. It feels so good if a guy like you took me to dinner sometime. That feels so good to me because that's how you feel. You see, now don't take this the wrong way and start saying, well, all I have to do is tell a man my demands, you know, and I'll get what I want. But be able to speak what feels good to you. So if you see a man and he's attractive and you want to open yourself up to receiving an arrow, and in this day and age, guys are so scared to let a woman know that she is attractive or whatever it may be. I mean, it's just kind of topsy-turvy times with that. But I think it's really great to have your body posture open. And I love the head nod. I love it if you can make eye contact count like 1, 2, and tilt your head and smile. So he's not like, who's this like lady, like just staring at me, you know, the head tilt and the smile. And I'm not just coming up with this. This has been backed up with studies in communications. The FBI uses a lot of this information to get you know, people to open up and share. So you want to have proximity. You want to have that body language, and you're making it basically a bid and telling them it's okay to come towards me. And I think it's totally fine to mingle and talk to anyone you want and just say, hey, you know, I saw you guys standing over here. I just want to come over and say hello. And it's great. And you're with your brothers and your sisters. You're with your friends. You're with your extended family in a way. How does that feel for your energy to do something like that?
For me to go up to somebody and initiate something like that?
Well, yeah, or just be able to speak to people, feel like I can look at someone, I can smile at them, I can head nod, I can go, hello. That's my favorite thing to do. I'm forever running into people, men, women, anybody. And grocery store is one of the biggest places I practice. And someone's coming along, I'm like, hi. You know, my hi doesn't mean I want to go sleep with you at a hotel. It just means like, I'm noticing you, you're noticing me, and I'm not afraid to say hello. But how does that feel for you? Kind of scary?
I can say hi to anybody. I say hi to everybody, except for if I find a man attractive, I freeze up.
Right. It's scary.
I'm scared to death. You know, then I freeze up and I feel very awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to practice with the guys that aren't as attractive.
I'm trying to practice with all these other guys. Yeah. Doing what you told me, you know, like just the other day, I was talking to them and I said, oh, that's practice. That's practice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Practice. It was just practice. You know, I've got to remember all these interactions are practice.
Well, so. Kathy, I think you know what you need to do. It's been great talking to you. I'm going to move on.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for everything. Oh my gosh.
You're welcome.
Thanks all these years, everything. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to connect with you.
Where
I
am
today
wasn't for you. I tell everybody to follow you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate your feedback and I love being part of your life. And, you know, I tell everyone I studied communications, I studied gender theory and literature and just feminist theory and how all these things came together. And just as women, as these feeling energy beings, you know, we are here to feel. And someone like Kathy, you know, sometimes our judgment sets our cognitive mind. We have these rules. We have these ways we want a person to be. But what if we just solely went with how a person feels?
Hi, everyone. This is Adrienne Everhart. If you're enjoying my podcast and also enjoy my YouTube channel, I suggest you go a little bit deeper into one of my self-study programs. I recommend everyone start with my ebook, 500 Ways to Talk to a Man. It also comes with a 2-day video class. This ebook has transformed the lives of so many women because I help you get aligned with your natural feminine energy and learn to speak and phrase your words in a way that really connects to a man's heart instead of challenging him with masculine energy. I can teach you so much more in my self-study programs. I have something for every topic that you may be interested in. And of course, New Man Manifesto, which is a 12-week manifesting course. It comes with homework and lots of extras. So head on over to my website, everhartcoaching.com, to learn more.
If we feel anything other than this is, you know, we might feel a little nervous, might feel a little scared, process what you're feeling, but know that your feelings are about you. You know, their feelings are really about you. I do believe in gut feelings as well, but even then your feelings are up to you and they're about you. I hope that helps. All right. I've got time to take one, maybe two more. I'm going to talk to Jessica. I asked to unmute you. There you are. Perfect.
Hi
Jessica. How are you?
It's good to meet you live. So my question is, so in my last relationship, very recent, I used to feel very unwanted and like I would get depressed when he didn't talk to me about his problems and I would try to push him and ask him questions because I think I felt like if he wasn't confiding in me about his problems, such mm-hmm. as like his divorce or his kids or his job or, you know, anything else, like I felt like it meant that he didn't want me to be a part of that part, those parts of his life. And then I would get in my head, like, if he's hiding something or he's just not interested in me being a fully a part of his life. And so I would push, and there would be, that got pretty bad, and there was a lot of arguments. And then I would get more depressed because he would kind of fight back on with me on this. And then he felt like he couldn't make me happy because there was all this drama, and then he left. And so I guess my question is, like, is this my toxic mindset that I'm having, and how do I reframe it and learn how to connect to him in other ways? And like, what I ultimately want is to be able to like recover from this, because, and to have another chance at the relationship, because yeah. I really value the connection, and I can really see, like, because I'm kind of,
let me start there. Was there really a connection?
Yes.
There was really a connection. And there was a connection to the extent that you could tell he was depressed, or he was telling you he was depressed, or...
Well, I was depressed.
Okay, you were depressed.
I would get depressed.
Not because of him, but because of the your own chemistry things going on in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would... And I think I would blame him, and I would... Like, I would... The very needy, very, I needed something from him all the time. I needed him to make me feel wanted. Yeah. And then I would be like, well, why don't you talk to me about this? And why don't you talk to me about that? And it kind of feel like, I feel like that relates to the problems. Cause I'm like, if you were to confide in me with your problems, then I would feel wanted or needed.
Do you think that's true?
No, because it never worked. Like, there was nothing that he could do to like make me feel better. And then I would keep pushing him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what you're describing, Jessica, I mean, it's something we all do. I mean, projecting is a real thing. Nod your head, ladies, if you've ever had you're upset about something, but we decide to pick on our partner instead. Yeah. Like, it's what we do. It's somehow, it's in our reflexes that if I pick on someone else, I won't focus on what's really bugging me. And, you know, I'm going to just touch on this just for a second, because I think it might take us somewhere nice. But going back to that drama triangle, I think when you show up and you're already feeling a little bit like a victim, you're already in this place.
Yeah.
And we start to persecute people around us, because who else is there except ourselves? We're probably persecuting ourselves enough all day anyway, when we're depressed. And then you're wanting him to come in and rescue you.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, your problems aren't my problems. Like, I feel for you, babe, and I'd like to open up to you, but whatever reason he didn't, we can guess as to why. But, you know, I'm really curious about how much of this you're doing just with yourself. And if you're able to get some help for the things, the bigger things that are going on in your life, because I often say this work begins and ends with how you feel. And are you able to get some help with how you're feeling?
I've been working on it a lot the past, you know, couple of weeks. I've been doing these Zoom calls, and I've been in touch with a therapist, and, you know, watching videos and just trying to get back to normal, because like ever since the end of the relationship, you know how there's like that neutral feeling? Well, I never have that. I'm constantly below it. And so like, I'll get these little moments where I do something that makes me feel better, and then afterwards I'm right back down to like,
sure, sure. I get that. How long has it been since you two parted ways?
So it's been about a week, but there's like, it's like in limbo right now. Like, he says that he doesn't know if he wants to be with me, and I'm not sure what that means. And I'm just, and he says he wants to touch base in a week, and I'm just sitting in like fear that a week from now, I'm going to get this terrible letdown breakup that I just can't stop thinking about.
Well,
and sometimes I'm like, I want to just send him a message and be like, just break up with me now, so I can like, I don't want to wait.
Don't do that. Don't do that. But also understand that he has the right to say, I need a little time to think. And part of that autonomy that we give our partner, it's not comfortable. First of all, life is not comfortable. So much of life is not comfortable. We live in I feel like our society is about, oh my God, you're feeling bad. Take this pill, take this. You're supposed to feel good all the time. And you're not. So much of life is I just feel miserable and how we cope with it.
Yeah.
And so what I'm hearing is even now when you're apart from him, instead of here's some time for you to really focus on yourself and focus on your own stuff, you're still making it about him and what he's going to do and when he's going to do it and what he's going to say. So you're still making, you know, your problems about him.
Yeah.
So if you're going to turn this around, and I totally believe you can, because I get the feeling there's a lot of love here for you guys. There's a lot of love. You want to go ahead and just start with yourself and just release him any outcome. I'm releasing any outcome. I'm going to trust whatever's happening to me right now, what I'm experiencing. I've got something I'm here to learn, because the thing I've noticed about moving up the tiers is that that person will not show up until you have done your work. They just won't show up. Or they'll show up and it'll be problematic. And so you have really got to find out, like, who am I? What am I feeling that's not about this man, right? Where's my autonomy?
What do I do about like the intrusive thoughts? Because like I try to think about myself and throughout the day and I do things, but then there's this constantly intrusive thoughts of like what he's doing and what he's thinking.
So also understand this is like the first week. Now, I mean, if I would have talked to you and it's like month 9, I mean, it's the first week. It's just how it's going to be. It's just how it's going to be. Your brain is in bring back my happiness mode, right? Your brain is like, how do I get my happiness back? We got to work on this problem. All night, all day. Yeah. You got to work. And just the best thing you can do is just say to yourself, oh, I'm having that thought again about Jim or whoever. I'm having that thought about him again. Or, oh, I'm feeling like I'm missing him again right now. And, oh, I'm having that thought that's telling me I need to figure this out. And will he call or won't he call? And maybe I should go ahead and tell him, you know, problem solve, problem solve, problem solve. Oh, I notice my brain is trying to problem solve right now. So just as much as you can. And then say, okay, Jessica, what does Jessica really need right now? What does Jessica want right now? And talk to your inner girl. What does that little girl want? Why is she so sad? What's going on?
Yeah.
You got to do that work. So when this man does come back around and he talks to you in a week, he can feel if your energy's all over him. He can feel it. And so we want him to feel like that energy's been peeled back and we want to make it authentic.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And Jessica, do you have ABCs to get him back? Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good.
I watched the first video.
Excellent. Yeah. That program's going to help you, because all of us, we get hyper-focused on the guy at this stage. And just as much as you can, redirect your thought. Remember, you are not these intrusive thoughts. You know that. You know, this is masculine energy. This is your problem solving machine. You're just not these thoughts. Your brain is. And the more that you can just intercept it gently, like you would a little kid, just tugging at you going, can we think about him now? Can we talk about him now? You would just very gently say, no, I hear you, but right.
Yeah.
So if you're giggling about this, I know you're starting to have some healing with this.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, beautiful. Stay in touch and let us know how it goes, okay?
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take one more question from Angelica. I've been envious of your headphones the whole time, so.
Really? Oh, thank you. They are both, maybe I should not get name, no marketing, but yeah. I'm so blessed that you took me. I'm sorry for the other girls who wants to speak with you. I'm your fan from a few years now, I think. I think your ABCs is the best program ever. I am so brainwashed by it. I felt like I grew with it so much with myself. I get to know myself. I think you should rename it. It's like ABC to get me back, really. And it's the ripple effect that those guys just come now. And now I can, So I really, really think it's about me. So I love this problem a lot. My question, I'll try to go back, ask me if you need some details. I think with your experience, you do not. But when I'm being sucked into the drama triangle, I notice the prosecution and the victimizing. My patience goes, and then boom, I just lose it. And I know it's coming and I try, but my resilience somehow is like this balloon. And boom, I don't have it and I'm being sucked. And then, so how to keep this resilience so I can stay, smile and nod and listen, or at least warm enough in response when I went to it, or when I know, okay, it's time to just put my shoes on and leave the house. Because then I snap. I say, okay, enjoy your victimizing. Bye. And I'm off. So I'm losing the warmth. And then the pattern is I get an MS. I'm sorry, you're right. This was not good. I wish I would have done better. But it just comes back. So I don't know how I can look after my warmth and increase the resilience and warmth.
Absolutely. You know, again, this is something we all face and we all endure, and we can all have this breaking point. And I'm sure some of you have noticed that when it's time to connect and talk with a man about his problems or whatever was going on, I say to look at a clock. Mm-hmm. Have you heard me say this? I'm like, look at the clock. Mm-hmm. Because I have a hard time doing this. I have this point where I'm just like welling up and I can't take anymore. And it's really healthy for me to just have it so that I have a clock I'm looking at and I can go, you know, I'm feeling at max capacity. I have a few statements I can say. I'm feeling saturated. I'm not really feeling at my best. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling overwhelmed. Whatever it is you're feeling, Angelica, and say, can we pick this up later, or can we work on this a little bit later? I'm feeling is that okay with you? Most guys will say, okay. Most guys will say, yeah, totally. Take your time. Cause they know what it's like to feel saturated and overwhelmed better than anybody. But more than that, so we're going to set that parameter. You're going to have that time. I'm going to take a break. I can go breathe. I can talk to myself. I can look at this with, what is the loving thing to do for this person in this moment? What is the loving thing for me to do for me in this moment? And while they're talking, you can go, what is the loving thing for me to do for them? What's the loving thing to do for me? Yeah, I'm getting a reaction here.
Very difficult. Because out of respect, I want to listen to every word. Mm. I want to really want this attention. So I just look. So I give him this and I want to listen. And I really think it's my high regard to him and respect that of being a respected human.
Let me jump in. Let's look at two things. There's, I am respecting you. I'm going to listen to every word you're saying, even though that is humanly impossible, right? And then there's, I'm going to ask, what is the loving thing this person needs right now? What's the loving? Which one is feminine? Which one is masculine energy?
Would you say? Of course, the loving. Mm-hmm, the loving.
Yeah.
But he gave me the task. He asked me to help him, to look at him and listen, that he needs that. So I inflicted here now, because either he's giving me a job because he's asking me to help him, because that's his trigger. If I look around, if I even move the eyes, so that's his trigger. So I'm helping him. Oh, so I chose to help him, but I can see the balance. I can see. So I'll think about it. Thank you.
But also have those boundaries, because I get it. He needs this. He needs no phones. He wants you right there with him. It's kind of not realistic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you got to have some real human boundaries here. You know, I love you. I want to be here for you. I want to listen to you totally. However, I want the freedom to be a human, because I know that you need me like this. I can't best understand like this. You know, I'll tell you all that it took me a long time to be able to coach people and also be able to look at them on a screen on Zoom. Cause then I'm like looking at myself and I'm looking at them and I'm distracted. Right. And so I'm better if I'm like with my eyes closed and I'm listening. And you have to find out what works for you and have that boundary and be able to talk about it before he sits down and speaks with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have any more questions about that? Or does that feel good?
Sometimes, of course, I don't leave the house and say what I said, enjoy the victimizing. Sometimes I get sucked into it and then I go into the prosecuting mode, especially when he victimized himself. And this is what Keith said before, this tweeting, I have that a lot. So like, I put my boundary, I put this line in the sand. I cannot take it. I will be emotionally sick. I tolerate that more. And I thought about it very long. It's not my friends. I really cannot take it. So if this is how you want it, I really cannot be here. I do it. Mm-hmm. Then he twists that I break up, that I threaten the relationship. And then after a few days of leaving it, I'm thinking, okay, let's let the dust settle. Then I just hear snapped words, but you're the one who breaks up. You're the one who threatens us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. You don't want to keep to our terms and conditions. I feel the deal is off. So why shall I keep my part of the deal if you don't do it? And then I get immediately sucked into the fairness of the deal. Silly.
Sure. So a big one here for everyone. Have a conversation with your guy during a peaceful moment. Say, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. Can we talk for a minute? You get the yes or no. I want us to have a boundary in a relationship that we do not say threatening things about our relationship, such as, well, I guess it's over. Well, I guess this is the end. I guess you're breaking up with me. Oh, I guess you don't. I guess you want to dissolve the relationship. We are not going to say those words. These are threatening words to the relationship. And we're going to have a rule right here, right now. We no longer threaten, is our relationship ending? I guess it's over. Whatever those words are. Okay. I get it. The other thing that I'm hearing is you want to make sure that in no way you're blaming your partner for how you feel and that you need the boundary. So often our partners come to us and they're having a problem and we kind of get mad at them for that. We're like, oh God, do you need me to sit here and talk to you again? You know, we get mad and it is difficult to find that empathy. So I'm a little worried that he is maybe needing more than a person can give. He's got other things.
Definitely, you're right here. He wants to repeatedly go through the same issues over and over and over. That this holding the grudge, and then I refuse. I say, I'm sorry, it's a waste of time. We already spoke about it. And I'm sometimes very dry because I really gave 7 minutes. I gave half an hour. Yeah. I gave sometimes 10 hours if it's needed.
Too long.
I tried lots of stuff, but lately I'm just, since ABCs, I'm like, no, we spoke about it. Right. So do you update the terms? Are you meaning you want to refine them? Very confused.
And I'm wondering, have you, Angelica, have you also tried? I noticed this keeps coming up.
Yes, I did. Okay. I did. And then we often name it as maintaining, which you use a lot in your vocabulary, that as if we cannot maintain the terms and conditions. And then there is this game competition comes. Well, you said that, therefore you broke deal, or you said that, therefore you broke this. So I'm being sucked into this drama, this prosecutor.
Is he an attorney by any chance?
Hi, this is Adrienne Everhart, and I'm curious. Are you ready to attract a loving partner and create your very own happily ever after? Maybe you've seen my growing list of testimonials on my Instagram page, or somehow you've been drawn to my work with feminine energy. I've helped a lot of women find true love, get engaged, married, and some even remarried. I want to help do the same wonderful thing in your life. I want to share Fem Tools for Dating. It's a program on my website and it's waiting for you. You see, dating can feel really difficult, and I teach you how to go from feeling invisible and intimidated online to creating connection with men and calling forth quality men into your life. Step by step, I guide you from the very first hello to happily ever after. I teach you so many feminine energy tools along the way and so, so much more. Now, if you want a coach that gets results and has methods that have helped women all over the world, Fem Tools is available when you need it. So head on over to my website. That's Everhart Coaching, EverHeart Coaching, and look for Fem. That stands for Feminine Energy Mindset Method. Trust me, ladies. This very affordable program does not disappoint.
Is he in law?
I say he's a nurse. but he should be politician, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's good with the words.
So yes, he writes poems. He's a DJ. He writes stuff. This is his hobby, but he's a nurse. So very kind.
You know what?
Full of empathy, beautiful person.
Well, exactly. You wouldn't be with him if he wasn't a wonderful person. But, you know, this is really tricky. I love it when I get a caller like yourself, because this is where it's so nuanced. And it's so tricky. And the rules of the game are always changing. And you can never, once you think you've got your balance and we're not bringing up old stuff, he brings it up again. And this is where it's like his problem. You know, he's got some sadness, he's got some anger, and he's projecting something going on with him. And I think you're doing a really good job of firm line in the sand, because what ends up happening is that at first he's the victim, and then you end up being the victim by the time the diatribe has continued. You see, you're now the victim, and then he's persecuting you for not hanging in there with him. And then he's persecuting you for not bringing up, you know, not being better in the past. And so I really think that you're doing the right thing. You need to be able to tell him, like, listen, I love you. You're the guy for me. I want to do this. I want to be in this together. I can't do this part of it anymore. It's too much drama for me. And I need us to make some rules and stick to them. One of those rules is we're not going to threaten our relationship with talk of the relationship being over. Another rule I would have is we're not bringing up the past anymore. And the other thing is let's work on having boundaries with how long we talk to each other, because I'm not your therapist. I don't want to be your therapist. I want to be your hot, sexy girlfriend. I want to be your hot, sexy wife. And so you want to come up with a couple of rules and let him come up with a couple of rules. And then you're going to have to write them out, and you're going to have to put them on your phones. And maybe somewhere in the house where if something starts coming up, it's not like, hey, look, you're wrong. Here's a rule. You can find a way to really lovingly say, you know, I'm hearing you on this, but this is falling into this thing that we discussed that we wouldn't speak about. And you have to be so empathetic. But a person like this, who is unhappy ultimately inside about something that has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. His problems are not your problems. In a way, you end up being that person's scapegoat or their whipping boy. You're what they're taking their aggression out on instead of solving your problems themselves. But it'll exhaust you like nothing else. I've experienced this before with other clients, and I get it. It's very nuanced. It'll make you go a little crazy too, trying to solve it. Yes. And figure it out. Right.
And I stop solving, and I say that. I say, listen, this affects me mentally so much that I feel like, like the mentor from Harry Potter ate me, sucked my soul right, for three, dementor. 4 days. And I need to like rebuild myself now. I'm a zombie walking.
Right.
And
then but I'm you're a victim at that point. And that gets you nowhere. So we have got to intercept this triangle before you become victim.
Because How can I jump out from the triangle?
Right, exactly. And we didn't talk too much about that in this, except that when you notice that I'm heading down that path to victim, or I've been in this situation before, I know it leads to me being victim. That's where you're going to have to think back and go, when do I make that loving move for myself? When do I make that loving move for myself? When do I make that loving move for him? I will tell you all a little personal story. At some point in time in my relationship with my husband, who is an avid reader, this man loves to read books, I said something along the lines of something that sounded like lazy people have the luxury of reading, or people who have a lot of time on their hands, they have the luxury of reading. I do not have the luxury of reading fiction, although I do know about Harry Potter. So apparently I've read at some point. I was an English major. But at some point I made some sort of negative comment that fiction is a luxury I cannot afford. Now, meanwhile, I have a man who reads every day. And so what is that saying about him? In his world, that's what it's saying. It's saying he's not good enough. It's saying whatever his neuroses is about this statement I'm saying. But I also have to recognize that. Like, my partner is feeling something negative about books, and he's being down on himself for some reason about whenever I mention this. And I have to address it. Do I want to address it? Does my inner boy want anything to do with this? No. My inner boy is like, hey, guy, pick yourself up off the ground. Like, get over it. right? My inner boy is very tough and I have to really work at being empathetic and being patient. And these are the moments where I'm like, I'm kind of happy I don't have kids because I can only imagine as a parent, it takes so much empathy, so much patience. And really finding a way to be the bigger person, you're going to be the bigger person here in that you're going to say, I have clearly hurt you. I've done something wrong. I've mentioned something wrong about books. And the truth is, I do think books are a luxury. Like reading fiction is a luxury. I really do believe that. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not right for me. And I don't want to talk about the books anymore because I don't feel like it hurts our relationship. So I'm able to, what is the most loving thing to do? I can tell this person's down on themselves. I can say a few nice things, but then I can also say some nice things and put a boundary up for myself. But yeah, does it take some, it takes a lot of mental work. And some of us are not, we didn't grow up in a family, Angelica. I can probably tell you this, like your parents played zero mind games with you, probably growing up, like whatever they said to you or, and I could be wrong, but I grew up in a family where my parents did not play any psychological mind games with me. Like, thank God their no meant no. And their yes meant yes. And if something happened, we just didn't talk about it again. And I think some people are really brought up around people or individuals where things become this twisted web of psychology and words. And it's so taxing for the people who, like, we don't operate that way. Like, we're not manipulative people. You know, what you see is what you get. So it's tough. I hear you. I don't know if any of this has helped you any further. I think this is really interesting. I can tell everybody is just like glued hearing about this. So I hope this has helped you.
This helped me enormously and guided me because I had those little gaps I couldn't understand from your program. So it gave me lots of clarity and I can see where I can work. And the scripts you gave today, I'm waiting for the recording back when you will post it. So then I can re-listen to myself here and write them all down. So I added to my phone as my notes and cheating page.
Not a problem.
Thank you so much. You're such a lovely angel. And thank you so much for being here, helping us. Really, I appreciate you a lot.
Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you so much for joining me for this live podcast. Definitely, if this podcast helps you and it's helping you grow, make sure that you go leave a comment, leave a review, share it with a friend. You can always find me on my free group on Facebook, which is I Heart Love Academy. I think this was a really good topic, talking about, you know, his problems, your problems, that drama triangle, how to get off of it. I think might be really another good topic to discuss sometime. It's just, there's one thing to observe it, and it's another thing to really, how do I get off this triangle and have just really healthy boundaries with someone. All right, everybody, much love.